one at a time, we'll let you do that. So we're not going to do that. Because you'd be thankful that I didn't make you do that. Never mind. But I want to look at some areas that I want to say thank you, God, for. And you will add some in your own mind, I trust, as we go. So I want to suggest some places or some things for which I'm thankful and I thank God for. So on your notes, the first thing is thank you, God, for the Bible. Thank you, God, for the Bible. We as Christians know that the very foundation of all that we believe and all that we teach is God's Word, and we're grateful for it. So let me read a familiar passage to begin with. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. I think we all agree with that. All Scripture is inspired by God. He put it, He brought it to being. This book, God used human beings to write it, but it's really His book. He gave them what He wanted them to write and directed them in doing that. And so this is God's Word. It's His love letter to us, His direction. We've mentioned before, some of you remember this, what the Bible, the word Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. And that's a good thought about that. I think it's a good way of thinking about the Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Because unless you... Well, one way or the other, we're all going to leave earth. Either we're going to die physically or He's going to come get us. So we're going to leave earth. And I want to be ready for it. I want to be prepared for it. So I thank Him for the book, for the Bible. He noted in this scripture passage that it's good for teaching. What we teach, what we are to let other people know, what we're to learn ourselves. So I'm grateful to have something that we teach that is solid, that is available, that is reliable, that is trustworthy. When you and I teach this book, we're teaching an eternal truth, an eternal God, and a book that's going to be here forever. The truth of this, the Bible, the Scripture says, my word will last forever. It will endure forever. So when we... I'm grateful to have the Bible available to us because it's what we teach. It's also good for reproof. Now, I don't like reproof. It's not fun. When God says that's wrong, you need to change that. Either it's something we're doing that we need to quit or something we're not doing we need to start. But aren't you glad that God corrects us and doesn't let us go down the trail of a wrong direction in our life? Reproof is God's love. When you as parents and we as parents had kids, when you reproved your kid, you did it not just because you wanted to be honorable, but because you wanted to correct the direction of their life. You wanted them to go a better way. You wanted something better for them. When God reproves us through the Scriptures, He's wanting to show us a better way. So it's reproof. But it's also good for correction. Not only tells us what's wrong, but tells us that if you go this way, this is the way you can do it. And gives us a new way of going, a new direction. And I'm grateful for those corrective directions in God's Word, and for training in righteousness, how to live righteous. I'm glad God didn't tell us to just go live it. He tells us how to live it. He gives us training in how to live right. And as we read this book, there's so much there. So I'm grateful to have the Bible. Well, you notice what He said about the Bible. When you have it, the person of God can be adequate, equipped for every good work. Do you realize that? Your equipment for the Christian life and for living it out is in God's Word. You're adequate for everything you need. You're equipped for every good work. And so I'm grateful for that. The other passage of Scripture says, and He said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory? Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the Scriptures. Obviously, the background is Jesus meets these two men on the road to Emmaus after His resurrection, where this comes from. But only notice what He did. He met them and said, well, they were upset and they were worried because Jesus had died and they said He was alive and they hadn't seen Him. But notice what Jesus does. He takes the Scriptures and He says to them, was it not necessary for Him to suffer the things that are here and beginning where? With Moses and the prophets. So what part of the Bible is that, basically? Old Testament. Old Testament. Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, prophets, and some other books in there. But basically, when the Bible talks about the Moses and the prophets, it's talking about the Old Testament. But I want you to notice what he said. Beginning Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning who? Himself in the Scriptures. Now, aren't you glad that God gave you a book that tells you about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, how he came to this world, and that it's this book is available to us in this way? Think about it. Aren't you just glad to have God's Word? Anybody here got more than one copy of the Bible? Anybody here don't have at least more than one? Generally, we've got more than one copy of God's Word. Not only that, we've got it written in a language we can understand. Because if it was still in Hebrew and Greek, most of us have trouble. A few around here I know can read it, but most of us can't. Aren't you glad God gave us His Word? It's available to us, and it's in a language we can understand. We can read, and He's preserved it. Now, I know there's some concern sometimes about translations and all that, but I believe that the God who's big enough to give us the Bible is big enough to protect it and to give us a copy that is reliable in our life. So I'm grateful to have it. It's been preserved for us through the ages. Is there any time in the ages where they've said they want to eliminate this book? Has there been any attempts throughout history where people tried to shut this book out? There has been. Did you notice it's still around? Did you notice? We're still have it available. Now, a lot of countries don't, people in other countries don't have it available like we do. And we need to be grateful for it. Yes, that's what I hope it's the number one best read and followed, though. That's the best. Bestseller's good, but being read is another thing important. Also, I'm grateful that this book is 100% true. 100% reliable. Will always be that way. And if I follow it, I'll turn out right all the time. No other book can be counted 100% reliable. Did you also notice that when you read this book, you can read it maybe 100,000 times, whatever, and you discover truths and insights you didn't see before. When you read a novel or another book and you go back and read it, do you remember a whole lot of it, a whole lot more than you do? You don't get as much out of it the second time. Sometimes you do. But with this book, you can keep on digging and digging and digging and digging and digging and studying and discover that it's still there and you haven't exhausted it yet. And I thank God for this book, this Bible, that is made available to us, 100% true, that we can dig in and He'll reveal Himself. Because Jesus said, the Bible reveals Himself. So if I want to know who Jesus is, I look for Jesus in the Scriptures. I read and I say, Lord Jesus, I'm grateful that you did what you did. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I'm thanking today, thank you God for the Bible. That we have it available. It's true. It's reliable. It will always be there. And we have it where we can read it and understand it. Along with that, aren't you glad He gave us Holy Spirit to help us know what He meant by what He wrote? And it caused us to know that. So the second thing, thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, God, for Jesus. The Bible primarily points us to Jesus and how to follow Christ. There are many other truths in there, but I'm grateful for Jesus. Is not Jesus the center of everything we believe and do? Jesus Christ is the center, and I need to remember that. Sometimes we get sidetracked, but I thank you, God, for Jesus. The Scripture says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercies called us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He praises God. Blessed be, praise to, glory to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's caused us to be born again through Jesus. Is He not the center? Everything centers in Him. You might say, well, I didn't see Him in the Old Testament, but I just said, Jesus just talked about the Old Testament, seeing Himself in it. It all pointed to Jesus. Everything. You see examples of Jesus, and some people would feel that Jesus appeared more than once in the Old Testament as an angel or as appearances. So He's been around. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus. I'm glad that the Bible tells us about how he was born. We take that for granted, I think. We're going to be celebrating Christmas before long. Some people already started before, but anyway. Well, the store did. But I'm grateful to remember how he's born. Does this description of Jesus in this book about who he was and how he's born have any difference? Have any significance for us? Does it not make a difference when we understand Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, placed in Mary's body by the Holy Spirit, being a perfect man and yet a perfect God, that tells us about the wonders of his birth? I like Christmas. I like the story of Christmas. I like the music of Christmas. If you come around our house in June or July, you probably hear some Christmas music now and then. Because it's a wonderful message. And so this book, I'm thankful for the way Jesus was born as a human being. I'm grateful for the life he lived as I read through the scriptures. I thank you, Jesus, he lived a perfect life. And the Bible describes that. Do you suppose if Jesus had not lived a perfect life, somebody would have found a way to reveal that? You think we wouldn't have had a book about the... Well, there are books anyway sometimes, but they can't refute the life of Jesus. But I'm grateful for what he did when he lived here on earth. Then I'm grateful for the fact that he did go to the cross and die for my sins and yours. The only perfect one who could do that. But I thank you for Jesus who did what only he could do. Because he became human, and because he was human, he could die on a cross for our sins. Forgive and provide grace and forgiveness. But listen, we're forgiven not because we come to service or because we read the Bible or because we pray or anything. We're forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And we receive what he did and ask him to take over in our life and to apply that to our life. I thank you, God, for Jesus. But I'm also grateful that he's resurrected. I'm grateful that they went to the tomb and he wasn't there. You think if he had been there, they'd have found it? You think we wouldn't have found some? No, he wasn't there. Praise the Lord, he's alive today. I'm grateful that Jesus ascended to heaven because from there he could be dominion over everything. While he was here on earth, he was limited to one spot at one time. But he told the disciples, if I go to heaven, I can be with you wherever you're going to be. I can be there all the time through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Jesus. And I thank you. Jesus is going to come one more time. And he's going to wrap everything up. He's going to bring to end everything. He's going to gather his people to himself. He's going to put the devil where he belongs. And he's going to let us rule and reign with him forever. Thank you, God, for Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. So I thank you, Lord, today. I thank him for Jesus. Then another thing I want to thank God for. Thank you, God, for qualifying me to share in the inheritance of the saints. That's quite long, so let me repeat it. Thank you, God, for qualifying me to share in the inheritance of the saints. For qualifying me to share in the inheritance of the saints. You recognize that the only way we're qualified to share in that is because of what Christ did in our life. We are never qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints because we happen to be a good person, we happen to read our Bible, we happen to have been baptized, we happen to join a church or whatever. That does not qualify us to share in the inheritance. What qualifies us is our relationship to Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful today to know that I'm qualified, not because I've got a stamp on my back or whatever achievement I've made, but because of Jesus. The scripture passage I listed says, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Aren't you glad God didn't say, okay, you got to meet this standard and I'll qualify you? We're qualified in Christ when we receive him as Savior. And I don't understand all this, but I know that God applies the righteousness of Jesus to me and to you, and that he qualifies us to share in the inheritance of the saints. Now, when you think of that inheritance of the saints, I don't know what all that means, but I know some of the things. It means that I get to go to heaven when I leave here. but also have the inheritance of His peace today. Have the inheritance. One of these days, we're going to get a new body. None of us want to take this one with us anyway. At least as you get older. Now, when you're younger, it may be different. I think sometimes the reason God lets us get that way when we get older, we're more ready to leave here than we were earlier. It gives us more pains and aches, and so we're more ready to die because we're tired of what's going on. I don't know. That's just a thought. But He qualifies us the inheritance of a new body, the inheritance of a treasure laid up in heaven. The Bible, Jesus said we can lay up treasure in heaven. As we serve Him, as we worship Him today, we're laying up treasure in heaven. As you read the Word, you're laying up treasure in heaven. But one of the ways we lay up treasure in heaven is when we share Jesus with someone else. Because I pray that God will help all of us to do more investing in the lives of people who need to know Jesus. Because one of the greatest treasures in heaven is somebody else that you helped to know Jesus, and they get to go to heaven too because you shared Jesus with them. Isn't that the great treasure? That's a great treasure. May God help us do that more often. But I look forward to that. I get to share in the inheritance. I'm qualified to do that because of Jesus. I'm grateful that when I have the inheritance of being forgiven of my sins, but not only forgiven, but restored to full relationship. I like the parable in Luke 15 where the son comes home and he comes back full sonship. To me, that says when we come back to Jesus, we not only get forgiveness, but we get restored to a perfect relationship with the living God in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for qualifying me to share. But I guess one of the biggest inheritances I think of is, I thank you for qualifying me to share in that inheritance, which is I get to spend eternity with Jesus, my Lord. I know He's here with us and He's going to live with us in forever. But there's going to be a difference when we leave this body and spend eternity with Jesus. It's going to be different. I believe that the Scripture indicates, and it doesn't even enter into our mind and our wildest imagination, what it's going to be like to be with Jesus forever. Aren't you? It's hard, I think, for us as human beings to conceive of that because we see a beginning and end. We're born and we die. We see things happen. But it's hard for us to think, I get to spend forever with the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior who died on the cross, rose again, ascended, coming back, to spend that time. Thank you, Lord, for qualifying me for that inheritance. It's in Jesus. And so I want to say thank you, Lord, for that. On the other side of your notes, these are all interrelated. I recognize that around Jesus, but that's one thing about them. Thank you, God, for victory. Thank you, God, for victory. It says, the sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's one of the favorite songs? Victory in Jesus. We like that. Because it's true. We are victorious in Him. We're going to triumph. We're going to be on the winning team. I don't care what happens in this world. I don't care who gets to be the president of this country, who gets to be rulers of other countries. Jesus Christ is the victor. And we're going to rule and reign with Him. And He's still in charge. Don't ever forget that. The victory is going to be in Jesus. And so through Him, we can count on the victory. Let me read the other passage I've listed on your notes. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us a sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. To me, that says I'm going to win. No matter what happens, no matter what comes my way, no matter the good stuff or the bad stuff, no matter how I deal with life, when I walk with Jesus, I'm going to come out victorious. As I keep my focus on Him, as I love Him, as I obey Him, I'm going to be a winner every time because of Jesus. I may get sick. I may have difficulties. But He can give me winning. He gives me a winning spirit anyway. Because in Jesus, He is still going to win in my life. And I'm going to win in Him. And I thank you, God, for that victory. You promised to be in our lives every day and ultimately, of course, over sin and death and everything else. But thank you, God, for victory. So I think it's a good thing to sing victory in Jesus. Victory in Him. So we're on the winning side. So I want to remember that. Sometimes I get discouraged. And I get to look at the world around me in this country and I think, man, you know, stuff aren't going well and I get down the dumps, then I need to remember, no, Jesus wins. Christians win. The faith in Christ and what we believe will stand forever and ever and ever. We're on the winning side, folks. We're on the victory side. Thank you, God, that I can have that victory. Because I remember when Prop 8 failed and or the courts, and it really got me down. Then I remember, no, Jesus still rules. Jesus still reigns. What we believe is still true. And we're going to keep on keeping on. So I thank you, God, for that victory. That you always, it says, lead us in your triumph, in your victory. And he manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Oh, may God help us to be a sweet aroma of Jesus where we go. A pleasant smell of God, looking and thinking about him. So I thank you, God, for victory. Another area is thank you, God, for fellow Christians. Thank you, God, for fellow Christians. The Scripture says we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Specifically, Paul writes this to the Thessalonians, but the principles in this, I believe, are true. We give thanks to God always for all of you. Where would you be if you were the only believer? You realize we are blessed because we've got other believers around us. We need each other. And I'm grateful for each one of you. We're different. Some of us don't look like, don't think alike. Some of us have viewpoints that are diametrically opposed sometimes. But aren't you glad we got fellow believers? I'm glad God didn't save us and put us in isolation. I thank God for those fellow Christians. Notice in this passage, he said, I thank you for your work of faith, that the people exercise faith and keep on serving the Lord. You do that. Thank you, Lord, for people, your Christians who are faith, the labor of love. Do you suppose if we do things for Jesus that we wouldn't do for anybody else? People serve in a variety of ways that you wouldn't do except for Jesus. But because you love Jesus, thank you, God, for people who love Jesus and are willing to serve him in all kinds of ways. I don't know whether you ever take a look or not, but if you take the church directory, that the printed ones downstairs, on the back part of that is a list of people who serve in all kinds of ways. You realize there's a lot of people who serve in the Lord in this people, in this group, because they love Jesus. You couldn't hire them to do what they do, but they do it for Jesus. And I'm grateful today for fellow Christians who their labor of love and they serve for steadfastness and hope. Do you know anybody who's struggling as a Christian and they keep on believing anyway? Is there anybody in your life that you've seen them in the midst of all kinds of stuff? They just keep on, they keep on faithful, they keep on loving, they keep on serving, they keep on believing. Aren't you glad for those who are steadfast in their hope in Christ? I've seen that over the years. You have too. We can name several in this church that we remember that they are fellow Christians. Lord, thank you for them and for their faithfulness. Some of us remember Al Hendricks. He just kept on. Couldn't see, couldn't get around. But then there are others since then. Did somebody come to your mind right now that you think of? Thank you, God, for that faithfulness of that individual. They encourage you. They keep, encourage you to keep on because you got a whole lot better than they got it. And you see how they keep on serving. And you say, well, if they can, I can. And there are people all over, not only here, but around the world. Thank you, God, for fellow Christians. The last thing on your notes, although there's another blank, and I'll talk about it in a minute. Thank you, God, for including me in your eternal plan. Thank you, God, for including me in your eternal plan. Scripture says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. He writes to them, to Timothy, and says, don't be ashamed of me. Join the suffering of the gospel. And we've noted lately, we don't have a whole lot of suffering in this country yet. We've had a little bit, and we fuss about it, but we don't suffer like a lot of people do in other parts of the world. But he said, join with me. How you do it? By the power of God who saved us. Aren't you glad you're saved? You're called with a holy calling. If you're saved, you've been called with a holy calling. You've been called with God's power and grace. How did he do it? According to his own purpose and his own grace. Does God have an eternal plan he's working out? Does God have a purpose he's going to fulfill in all of eternity and all of life here on earth? According to his purpose and grace granted to us in Christ Jesus, again, connected to Christ, what does the last part of that say? From all eternity. Now, think about it. Aren't you glad? Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ has you including, and he puts you into his eternal plan and purpose and says, I want you to participate in what I'm doing for my eternity, and you are a part of that. I'm going to tie you into that. So what we're about is bigger than this location. I mentioned this, I think, a week or so ago. What we're about is bigger than Sierra Baptist Church. We're about is bigger than Pioneer. We're about is bigger than the United States. We're about is bigger than other parts. We're talking about an eternal purpose of God that's going to last forever. He's building his kingdom, and he's going to bring together his rule and reign. And he's adding us and letting us participate. I'm glad he ties us to something, to someone who's bigger and better than anything we've ever met. Because we're tied. We're about something far greater than you and I could ever see in our own small world. God ties. Aren't you glad? Thank you, God. You tie me to something that's more than the moment, that's forever. You tie me to something that's going to be useful and to a plan and a purpose in which you are at work. And I'm grateful that God lets me in on his eternal plan. He includes me in it. I don't see all of it, but he includes us in it. As I mentioned before, we're all like, as I mentioned last time, pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. He puts them all together for his, when he gets through, isn't it going to be a marvelous picture? How he puts it all these, and we look back. I don't know whether we will, when we get to heaven or not, be able to look back and see all that he did, but maybe we will, how God put this all together. And he put all these people, you and I included, and he puts them all together to fulfill his plan, his purpose for the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of Jesus, and the salvation as many as to come to know him. We are all intricately tied together to fulfill that purpose. Now, he doesn't have to have us to do it a bit. He can do it all by himself. But he chooses to include us. Thank you, God, for letting us in on your eternal plan and us to be a part of that. So I hope I remember that, and that we remember that. Sometimes we get so bogged down in the moment, we forget the bigger picture. We forget the kingdom. We forget the rule and reign of Jesus. And I pray that I'm thankful that he included me in that plan. So, the last line is for you. Thank you, God, for whatever you want to write in. Because obviously, there's stuff I didn't name. So I hope that this season of the year, maybe you take time and look. What do you? Now, there are many things. I recognize that. But maybe one comes to your mind right now. What is one thing you're thankful to God for? I didn't name what you thought about. You might want to jot it down on your notes. Thank you, God, for whatever. Because there's a lot of things that we can be that beyond what I've named to be grateful for. I'm grateful to live in this country. I'm grateful for many other things that God gives me. It is his grace. And I forget sometimes I'm blessed to be able to live here in this country. Whether I like everything that happens or not, I'm grateful to live here. And that we have what we have and the system we have to operate. It may not be the perfect, but it's a lot better than most places. And I pray that God will move in there. So thank you, God, for your blessings. In a book called The Adventures of the Naval Treaty, Sherlock Holmes, you know, the detective in the Bible, not in the Bible, but carefully. But that detective you read about. In one scene in this book that's shared, Watson tells about seeing Holmes standing by a window with a flower in his hand, a rose, a moss rose, and he's holding it up. And he said, I'd never seen him contemplate like that before. And he said, Holmes said, many things in the world are essential. food to feed the body, shelter, those things. But he said this rose is an expression of the extras, because it's not necessary to live, but it adds beauty and dimension to my life. And then he said, what are the extras that you have in your life that God has added that are not essential, but are many, many blessings? I think if you think about it, you've got some roses. You've got some extras. All of us do in this country. And I pray that we'll be able to spend time this next few days and on Thanksgiving Day to give God thanks, adore Him, honor Him. There are many ways to give thanks, I suppose, but let me suggest that probably one of the ways is to say, God, here I am. You can have me. I'm grateful for what you've done. You can have my life. Use me however you want to. I believe God has done all this for us, wants us to offer ourselves in gratitude to Him and say, if you want to use me, you want me to teach, you want me to share, you want me to share Jesus, you want me to live godly, I'll do it. I give myself to you. That's gratitude. That says thanks. And I believe it's probably maybe the best way to come before God and say, God, here I am. I'm saved, but I offer you my life still. I'm not saved, but I want to receive Jesus. You can do that too. So it's a good time to thank God. And my prayer is that we'll do that in our voice, in our attitude, and in our service. To say, thank you, God, for all you've done. Jesus died for you on the cross. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus is coming back. He's waiting for you to receive Him in your own heart and life as Savior and Lord, because all this is possible because of Jesus. And you need Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, all this I've talked about will not be yours. It has to be because you have committed your life to Christ and invited Him to come in and save you and cleanse you. But it's there. And I'm grateful for that day when He touched my life and I became a believer in Jesus. Things changed from that day on. Not perfect, but it changed for the better. And you are too. So, my prayer is that if you don't know Him, today you'll receive Him and go home saying, I'm a child of God. I've been forgiven. Thank you, God, for saving me. I'm a child. I know I'm going to heaven because I've given my life to Christ. It's wonderful to know that. And you can know that. And we are Christians to say, God, help me to be grateful. Help me to be grateful. Thankful for all that I've got. Because all of us, no matter where we are today, have an abundance of good things. Way beyond anything we've ever earned or deserved. We have it. Let's pray together.